Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why are they afraid? When the herdsmen saw what had happened to the demons and to their pigs, they fled. When the people came and saw the man who was once demon-possessed, now sitting at the feet of Jesus, now clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. And when the people heard how the demon-possessed man had been healed, they were seized with great fear and asked Jesus to depart from them. What the herdsmen and the people had encountered in Jesus was a power greater than any other. They knew the horrifying power of the demons, how they had made that poor man naked, insane, chained, and then breaking chains, living, if you could even call it that, amongst the dead in the tombs, and driving him into the maddening heat of the desert. Terrible is the power of the demons. And the possessed man, even the entire community, was powerless against the demons. Then came this man named Jesus. And with a word, the demons were sent out of the man and into pigs. And the pigs were then sent galloping off a cliff to be shattered and drowned by the waters below. Jesus freed the man, freed the community. And if only for a moment, pigs did fly. So why were these people afraid? Shouldn't such a wonderful miracle have filled them with great joy? Shouldn't they have lifted Jesus up on their shoulders and praised him for his power? We would think so. But we would also be vastly underestimating the evil that is in the human race. Instead of worshiping Jesus for his power, the people are afraid of him and want him gone. Why? Let's just put it this way. The people want nothing to do with demonic beings having power over them, that's for sure. Nor do they want anything to do with this man named Jesus having power over them. Whether it's demons or Jesus, the people can't stand the idea that they are not in charge. Autonomy, we call it. We like to think that each man is a law unto himself. We like to think that we are free. Free will deciding for God or against him. Free will deciding which parts of the scriptures we like and which parts need, well, a different interpretation. Your free will, deciding what words and deeds of yours are sinful and what words and deeds of yours are not. We want nothing more than to think that we are free, free from demons, free even from God, all-powerful us. To commit the greatest of all idolatries, you need neither an idol nor an altar. The greatest of all idolatries takes place right in your heart and in my own, as you worship you, as I worship me. Inside each one of us, there is a little all-powerful me. Isn't that why you chafe when your spouse tells you that you will do something? Isn't that why the ticket that the police officer gives you is always some atrocity against justice? Isn't that why when a friend confronts you and tells you to stop, it burns so bad? It's a threat. It's a threat against your own all-powerful me. We want to be in charge, each and every one of us. And what really gets us down and ruins our day is precisely what this gospel illustrates. We are not in charge. Man is not free. Man is subject to demonic powers. Not only are there instances of demonic possession, but Scripture calls Satan the god of this world and plainly states that Satan has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. There is no other teaching that causes more anger and more rebellion, either inside the church or outside of it in the world, than this simple, self-evident fact that man is not free. Man is not in charge. Now, don't get me wrong. A man may be free to choose between a lobster tail or a hot dog, depending, of course, upon what's in his wallet. A man may be free to choose who to marry, depending, of course, upon his good looks and charm, or lack thereof. Depending upon one's intelligence or opportunities, a man is also free to choose what kind of job to have. Man certainly has some degree of freedom in those things that are below him, as Luther says, but not in those things that are above him. The demons prove that. They are above. And they give the Gerasenes a little lesson to that effect. So when Jesus casts out these demons, he shows that he not only has power over the demons themselves, but that he also has power over this man whom he healed. That is what the Gerasenes fear. That is what the Gerasenes hate. This is why they want Jesus gone. They certainly don't want demons to be in control, but neither do they want this Jesus in control. We might put it this way. They simply don't want to let God be God. Not even if God has come to set a possessed man free. Amazing. Amazing, too, that the very moment that Christ comes to us to exercise his good power over us, we also chafe. No sooner does Christ come to set you free from your sins, proclaiming the gospel of his death and resurrection for you, and suddenly there is an attack of the yes buts. You know, the yes buts. Baptism now saves you, God says to you. Yes, but. Yes, but we can fall from baptismal grace, can't we? Why, are you planning on it? I forgive you your sins, God says to you through the pastor he gives you. Yes, but. Yes, but the pastor is only a man. Well, that's not the question. The question is, did God send that man to forgive you your sins? Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood, given and shed for you, for your forgiveness, God says. And we know all the yes buts to that one. A whole herd of yes buts, like a whole herd of filthy pigs. Why is it every time God tries to be God? Why is it that every time God sets a man free, there's the fear of the Gerasenes, the attempt to push this gracious, all-powerful Jesus away? Why is it that every time God tries to be God and set other people free from their sins, by the power of his word, by the power of his sacraments, there's always a whole bunch of theologians and a cacophony of yes-buts that try to stand in his way? The answer is sin. Sin in you and sin in me. Sin that will not let God be God. I mean, can you even imagine it? If those Gerasenes had said, that poor man whom Jesus healed, he didn't ask for it, you know. Poor man. He didn't choose to be made well. I feel bad for him. He didn't pray the sinner's prayer. You just freed him, Lord. How dare you treat this man like a puppet? Are you kidding me? Who in their right mind would say that? And yet, that is exactly the sort of nonsense we hear when people encounter the living God and his powerful, unconditional grace. Thanks be to God that God is God. Thanks be to God that when he speaks, the demons called Legion tremble and flee and have no choice. Thanks be to God that when he forgives you and washes you in forgiveness and feeds you with forgiveness, all your sins flee. Thanks be to God that God doesn't stop to ask us if we want his forgiveness. Because after all, I think we'd probably be spiritually dense enough to just say no. So it is, quite apart from us, outside of us, without even asking us, God sends his Son to atone for our sins on the cross. So like it or not, it is finished. And you are his, baptized into his death on the cross for your forgiveness, baptized into his Easter resurrection so that you also will rise. There you are, poor naked sinner, you confessed as much. Now, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, sitting at his feet, in your right mind, all the demons, all the yes buts, lying dead at the bottom of that baptismal font. Christ Jesus has saved you. Let God be God. Chief of sinners, though I be, we sang this morning. Maybe it was just my ears, but for some reason I could have sworn that I heard chief of sinners, though I be, Pastor Rohde is worse than me. I don't know who in the world would have taught you that, but it's probably true. Well, chief of sinners is what each and every one of us is. And for each one, for you, Christ went and died on the cross. Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. That is your song too, because God so loves you that he went to the cross for you. Because God so loves you that he doesn't leave salvation up to you. Isn't that great? He so loves you that he doesn't even leave it up to your free will. He doesn't even leave it up to your behavior. He's already put his money on those cards. You see, God has already done it. Quite apart from you, on the cross, he has set you free. That kind of power might scare us, but that's the best kind of fear there is. Today's gospel may indeed be bad news for a certain pig farmer, belly-flopping pigs and all, not good for business. But this is certainly good news for us. Today's gospel may indeed be bad news for all of our yes buts, but it is good news for us. Today we see that our Lord Jesus not only has power to destroy demons and unseat Satan, he has power over us. All powerful you, all powerful me, I think not. And there could be no better news. God has taken control of your salvation. He is in charge. And neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. When Jesus goes about saving you, demons tremble and flee. Fitting that our Lord chooses water for the demon's demise. He has chosen water before, once even for our own race. But his rainbow reminds us that he has promised never again to destroy us with water. Water will be his means of salvation. Just as Noah and his family were saved through water, baptism now saves you, Scripture says. Just as God used the waters of the Red Sea to drown hard-hearted Pharaoh, God uses the waters of baptism to drown hard-hearted Satan. So let Satan mount up on hell itself and gallop after you to pursue you. The Lord your God will throw that horse and that rider into the sea. Here, in the baptismal water, your sin, your guilt, your shame, all of it gets drowned. And the one who enslaves you, the so-called God of this world, he gets drowned as well. All of it gets drowned, but not you, because God is for you. when you see Jesus first humiliate the demonic powers, then crush them in the waters, you see that his power is no joke. This is not a God who plays around with salvation or offers you salvation. This is a God who gives you salvation. This is the God who crushes anything and everything that would stand in the way of his saving you. Trust in a God like that, in a Christ like that. Maybe when pigs fly, well, then I suppose today is your day. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise for prayer. In our prayers this morning, we pray for Judy, for Harriet, for Nellie, and for Clarence. We pray also for Jocelyn Deitch, that God would bless and keep her as she travels to Africa for mission and then also to Europe. We pray for those who are serving overseas, for Kyle, for the Dart family. We pray for Daniel, Jason, Ben, Kevin, Jonathan, Chris, Scott, and Thomas.